I don't know if I got a good greeting or a crappy greeting, but I got a greeting nonetheless. It is true. I do have a best friend in your pastor. I like Rashad up there. That's nice. He's a San Antonio Spurs fan, obviously. Nobody's checking those shirts before he films, obviously. Man. Goodness. He's just shaking his head. No, I'm not a Spurs fan. Then quit wearing the shirt. Anyways. I got so much I want to share today, and when I'm away from my home church, it's kind of funny. I like to get in other spots, but you don't know me. So I'm very aware of the fact that you don't know me. You know your pastor really well, and you should know your pastor really well. So you don't know my voice, but I'll just give you a quick rundown. People normally leave my services, and they say, man, you're funny, but you don't know that I'm funny. So hopefully you will find my humor good, but what I really want you to do is walk out of here and actually do something with what you heard. So I'm going to give you a little background on me so you can kind of get to know who I am. I got to be honest, I'm so thankful that I do have your pastor as a friend. And as much as I pick on him, oh, this is my camera spot, right? If I go further, you can't see me. I love it. So this is, nobody can see me now. So he's the nicer of the two. There's always, when you have a friendship, there's a really nice one. He's the nice one. But what I'll say about your pastor is he's wonderful. Man, he's such a good friend to have. We've been to the Grand Canyon together. We've been on trips together. We've done stupid things together. But he's always the one of reason. He's always the nice one. He's always the smart one. And I'm kind of the wild one. But I love him and his family. Man, Pastor Anna is wonderful. I forget, every time I show up here, I forget that when I'm worshiping beside Anna, I have to be very aware. I saw her wave into heaven earlier, you know. And the next thing I know, she's gone. She's on the altar. And listen, it's not, I'll be honest, when I see them at church, they're the same at home. Like, they're not fake. We've been around a lot of ministries and people. I hate fake. Can't stand it. I don't want anything to do with it. Man, your pastors are the real deal. And everybody here, man, I love your whole church. I've been coming around forever. Dave's amazing. Katie and Steven, Christian's amazing. Like, everybody's wonderful. So I'm thankful for your church. I'm thankful that I get to be here. Little background on me, we did start 18 years ago, so I've been doing it 1 year longer, so I'm 1 year better than you. But we are in rural areas. Gibsonville is where Pastor Josh lives. It's a town of like 8,000 people. But then you're around Burlington and you're around all these other places. Like, this area is crazy big. My area is, I live in a town of 1,500 people. We have 5 churches in our rural communities, and we've been doing that for a long time. I told my daughter, Lucy, she knew I was coming down here to be with Pastor Josh and some other pastors we're going to be with next week. And she goes, hey, Dad, how many churches do they have? And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, well, how many churches do your pastor friends have? And I was like, they have one? She's like, why? I was like, because they're not as awesome as your dad? That's why. So we do have multiple campuses. On Easter, we had one of our biggest days ever, and it doesn't really matter how many people, but it is crazy. And I just think that in our rural communities, they ain't got nothing else to do. It's like cow tipping or coming to church. Come to church. So, and it's really fun to do what we do. I love that we have rural communities. I love that we're in those areas. All of our campuses are within a 5-mile radius, or sorry, a 25-mile radius, our 5 campuses. And so I kind of know everybody, and I think that I don't. I don't know everybody, but it seems like everybody knows Pastor Justin. I'm not on social media. Like, you can't find me. I do nothing. But here's what I know. My wife grabbed me last Saturday, and she goes, hey, come to the tanning bed with me. I don't do things like that. But she's like, we're going to Florida in June. You don't want to burn. I was like, good point. And then my wife asked me to go, and it was one of those like, hey, babe. I was like, all right, let's go. So we hop in the car, we go tan, no big deal. And the lady is like, she's like, you want to tan once or buy a package? And I was like, well, I'll just tan for the month. I'll buy a package. So I go tan, me and my wife, like 7 minutes. Then I leave. So the next day was Monday. And I was like, well, I'm going to go tan. I got this package. I'm going to go tan on my lunch hour. I'm going to be in Eaton. I'll just go over there by myself. So I get in there and I realize that tanning by yourself is way different than with your wife. I don't want to be that guy, but I was that guy. So I walked up to the counter and I looked at this girl and I was like, my name's Justin. She didn't ask my last name. She's like, bed six. And I go, man, I hope nobody knows me. And there was the girl at the counter and there was a girl behind me. I said, I hope nobody knows me. She leaned over the counter. She goes, everybody knows you. And then she goes, I go to Arcanum. And the little girl behind me goes, I go to Eaton. I was like, oh my, I can't go anywhere. And what I realized was, is like, that's just what it is to pastor in rural communities. Like, everybody knows who you are. And that's what I love about church. When you walk in the doors, you've been coming a while, everybody's going to know who you are. You have a family. And that's just kind of how we live. But here's what I also want to let you know, is that I'm a father of four. If I was to show you my friends 20 years ago, me and your pastor, we did youth camps together. That's how we met. And we had a group of like 7 or 8 guys that we were just pretty close with. And if I was to look at any of those guys and say, who shouldn't have a bunch of kids? It was me and your pastor. We were children ourselves. We have no business. So I have 4 kids too. I'm just opposite of your pastors. I have 3 girls and 1 boy. Do you have a picture of my family up there? Let's see if we can't see them. Boom. There they are. My wife married up, obviously. And then I got Emma, Jake, Cammy, and Lucy. And I got to be honest, I love being a dad. Man, if I would have to trade being pastor or being dad, I'm choosing dad every time. You can have the church. And I love, you can get rid of that picture. The longer you look at it, the more you're like, how do you marry her? I was thinner and cooler then. But I love being a dad so much. And my kids, man, I got all these stories of my kids. And I get into the weirdest spots. But my daughter's with me. She's 17 years old. She gets me caught up in doing these dumb things because she travels with me. She's in high school, but she only does online college classes, so she never has to go to school. So she thinks that she gets to travel with me everywhere that I go. So everywhere we go, she's like, hey, Dad, let's do a coffee review on my Instagram page, TikTok. And I was like, cool. So here's a little video of what our coffee reviews look like with my daughter.
Okay, my dad's doing coffee review with me. We got Dutch Bros coffee from, I don't know, I've only ever had it in Oklahoma. I'll go first. I got a sugar-free vanilla latte, and it's a 10 out of 10. What'd you get?
I got a latte, and it's fine.
It's so good.
So this is what it means to be a dad, is I get to do all these fun things with my kids. And so my daughter always gets me roped into these things. Then my son's different. We have, you know, we have a woods, we have a creek, we have all these things. And he came flying up on the four-wheeler the other day and he's like, Dad, he's like, there's a mountain lion dead in the creek. And I was like, what? He's like, Dad, you got to come see it. I was like, let's go. In the inside, I'm like, there's no mountain lion. I live in Ohio. We have nothing close to a mountain lion. At best, this could be a big cat. But I was excited. I was like, let's go. So I hop on the back of the four-wheeler with him, and he takes me through, and he takes me in the creek, and I'm getting all wet. And then he's slowly going up to it because he thinks it's probably a mountain lion that might not be dead that could probably eat us. Mind you, he is 15. He should know better. But he doesn't. So we're riding down the creek bed, and I come up to this mountain lion, and I'm like, not a mountain lion. What had happened was, is the water got high, and it rolled grass back, and it was just dirt that was rolled. I was like, son, that's not a mountain lion. It's just dirt. He's like, but Dad, it looked like it from a distance, though, didn't it? And I was like, yeah, buddy, it sure did. Sure did. My Cammy, she's 13. I get home from work, and she's like, Dad, you got to watch my new flip on the trampoline. I'm like, yeah, let's go. So I go out there, and she does the flip. It's the exact same flip every single day. There is nothing new about it. And she's like, did you see the difference? I was like, yes. It was amazing. And my little daughter, Lucy, I got so many stories about Lucy, but my favorite one is we were driving on vacation and it was pouring down rain. And we go into the underpass and it would stop raining for a minute. And so I said, hey, Lucy, I said, I'm going to talk to God and I'm going to stop the rain. She's like, what? I said, yeah. I said, I can only do it for just a second. I can only tap into that power for just a second. So we'd get close to an underpass, and I'd go, and I'd let go. She was like, Mom, did you see that? Dad stopped the rain. And I was like, yeah, I did. And then Mom looked back, and she goes, your dad's an idiot. Honey, we're driving under an overpass. And she didn't believe her. She literally thought I could stop the rain. The older they get, the worse they get. There's that sweet age. It's like 10 to 7 to 10. Man, they'll believe anything. I really tap into that phase, and I only got one left. So anyway, she still thinks I can stop the rain, but I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. I think all that had a point. I'm never really sure if it has a point until we get to the end. Ephesians chapter 1, turn there. Who brings their Bible to church? Anybody? Yeah, man, go, actually turn in your Bible. I'll give you time to get there. Ephesians, man, your Bible is enormous. I love giant Bibles. Ephesians chapter 1, take a minute. Get there, and I want to talk to you real quick about our Father. Listen to this. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, God decided. I love when God decided. That means it's already done. It's over with. He decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Listen to this next part. Do you have verse 2 or verse 6? Oh, thank you. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. You know, I told you all those stories about me because I love being a dad. Do you know God loves being your father? You bring him great pleasure. Here's what I know. Some of you are sitting here, and you're like, yeah, but you don't know what I did last night. He does. But he decided anyways to adopt you into his family. I think we have this misconception of God that he's mad at us. Do you realize that God poured his anger that he has on you? He poured it on Jesus, and Jesus put it on that cross. Don't you love that you have a giant cross? Man, it's made out of steel. I don't know how they got it in here. Wow. But imagine, God decided in advance to adopt you, and it brought him great pleasure. I know our kids give us headaches sometimes. They frustrate us. They annoy us. But God has not wavered by any of that. You're his. I want to give you my entire sermon today. Ready? God is so glad that you're his children. He's given you a family, and he wants you to get to know him. Man, I love the verses, and it's like he knows every hair on our heads. He knew us before we were in our mother's womb. He decided in advance. He loves you. He chose you. He wants you. You bring him so much joy and pleasure. I wonder if God knew I was going to lose my hair, right? Look. When we started the church, I had more. 18 years of pastoring. This is what I have. Your pastor just grays up cool. I just lose mine. But he also knows the hairs that have been growing now on the back of my arms. God's been doing that too. It's like a little joy you get when you get older. You lose it here, you grow it here. What a blessing. What a blessing. I'm like, hey, he's my dad. He loves me. Making sure I'm warm in those Ohio winters. Anyways. But you know, I look at my kids and I love taking care of them. I love doing things for them. I love blessing them. We have such this distorted view of God that he's mad, that he sits up there and he doesn't care what's going on in our life. We're almost afraid to even talk to him because it's like, he's so busy running all the world stuff. He doesn't have time for me. No, he has so much time for you. This morning, my daughter needed something. So what do? Man, we go to the grocery store this morning, the gas station, and get her what she needed. She wanted an Alani. Does anybody know what Alani is? So stupid. Stop drinking those. I mean, honestly, it's like drugs, Alani. Celsius is in there too. They're all terrible for you. But I want to take care of her, so what do? I buy it for her. That's enabling. I don't know about that. That's a whole nother sermon. But I love taking care of her. And you know what? God loves taking care of you. It's unbelievable how much joy it brings him to take care of you. Go with me to Philippians chapter 4. Should be really close there. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. It says, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ. He loves providing for you. I love providing for my family. I love helping them out. I love them making sure they have something to eat every day. I love making sure they have heat in the winter, AC in the summer. I love making sure we have this fire pit around our house. We all sit around it. I love making sure they have everything that they could possibly need. Everything. And it brings me so much joy. Go with me in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11. Flip over there real quick. It says, and I know I'm not giving you time to turn there. Deal with it and take notes. If you then, though you are evil, listen, I'm evil. I have evil things in my heart, but I know how to give good gifts to my children. He said, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Man, he wants to not only just provide for our needs, he wants to lavish us with his goodness and love. Last night, we had a little birthday party. I come into town the same week every year, and it's always Cohen's birthday. And man, I had to go. My daughter made me go. I had to go and get Cohen a T-shirt and a Taco Bell gift card. They're so easy to please at 17. But man, he had these gifts. He had this white chocolate raspberry cheesecake that I didn't eat because I'm trying to lose weight. But I took the raspberries off of it. So at least I got something. But we know how to good gifts. How much more does our Heavenly Father, he wants to take care of you. He wants to provide for you. So we have a Heavenly Father that loves us. But he also gave us something else. He gave us a family. I'm so thankful for the church. So if you go to Ephesians, I'm going to get ahead of myself, but I don't really care. Preach. All right. He got me coffee this morning, the best cup of coffee I ever had in my life. It was amazing. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1. Hey, guys, we will flip back to those other two scriptures. But Ephesians 1:1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Listen to this. He's writing this letter to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ. When we say the word church, we think of building. We think of, man, I came here today. I showed up. I parked in the church parking lot. I got the church coffee. I got a church cutie, little orange, tiny orange. I sat in the church pews. I did all these things, and we think that's the church. But really, the church is God's holy people. I mean, thank God for the buildings. I believe that when God built this building in 1935, he had Trailhead Church in mind. No question. But I've seen this. Who's been here for longer than 4 years? Raise your hand. Okay, not a lot of you. Man, I remember the buildings. I remember the workout facility that we had church in. I remember this small little church building that your pastor hated. I remember meeting at the movie theater in downtown Graham. Is that right? I remember all those buildings, but you know what? Trailhead Church was always Trailhead Church because of the people that represented it, not the buildings we met in. We are his people. People get caught up in buildings. This building's awesome, but who cares? We're still the church with or without it. My town gets so mad because my church was built, my church was rebuilt in 1894. The church I'm still in rebuilt. So it was actually built in 1889 is when it was originally built. And here's how messed up people get. I'm going to tell a story. I did not clear this story with your pastor. So here we go. Is this live stream? Sweet. I'll say what I want then. So I was, here I am in town. We have these beautiful 30-foot stained glass windows. And we covered them up from the outside, and I backlit them from the inside. They're still beautiful. We decided to do that for a lot of reasons. Lighting, maintenance. They were rotting. I wanted to preserve them. So here I am. I go down to Dayton, and I'm getting a procedure done. Mastectomy. Okay. I'm getting a vasectomy. My wife will not let me call it a surgery, although I think it is. She goes, it's just a procedure. Stop whining about it. It's like women band together during that time. I don't know. I just kind of feel like I need to stand behind the podium right now. So here I am down in Dayton. I'm laying on this table in the most uncomfortable position that I've ever been in. And this lady walks in and she goes, are you Pastor Justin? I was like, oh. I was like, uh-huh. Here's what she asked. Scalpel in her hand. I'm kidding. In my brain, it was like that. She goes, why'd you cover up those stained glass windows in Lewisburg? I looked at my wife and I'm like, can we leave? I was done. She was so upset that we covered up the stained glass windows because that's the church. There was an oak tree planted next to the church that squirrels used it to jump in on my building. So one day, about like this, I was in there with a little 22 shooting squirrels in my sanctuary. You're like, do you need a license for that? Not where I live. So I cut the oak tree down. You would have thought I'd nailed Jesus back on the cross. They're like, what are you doing? Cutting the tree down so you can make another cross for Jesus? It's like, nope. Just wanted the tree down. But people get all worked up because of a church building. Church building ain't the church. Church building is not the church. Come on, 2 Chronicles 7:14. He says, if my people. You want to know what the church is? It's his people. It's us. If my people who are called by my name, we're his people. Not only do you have this loving father that cares about you, you also have this family that now you're a part of. He didn't write those letters to a building. He wrote them to a people. And we get so messed up on that. We get so caught up in things that don't matter. I have a church. I have a campus that used to be an old mercantile store in this little town called Arcanum. 100 years before it was a church, they sold bubble gum and jeans in that store. I have a church that meets at a YMCA. We set it up and we tear it down every week. I have a church that we took and we turned an old grocery store into a church. Man, it has nothing to do with the building. It has everything to do with the people. We are his. So where do we go from here? Have a lot to cover, and I want to do it in 7 minutes. You can put that scripture away. I'm done with it. Thank you. Here's what I want to end with. We have a God that loves us. He wants to care for us. He wants to be there for us. He gave us a family. We're all part of a church. Thank God we're part of a church. I'm so thankful. Somebody's phone's ringing. You need to do something about that. It's inappropriate. I'm just kidding. It's fine. I actually love it. I just assume it's time for somebody to take their heart pill. All right. If I don't take it, something bad could happen. I'm like, take your pill or answer your kid's call. God loves you. Hey, listen, you got to track with me right now. He loves you. He's your father. He's given you a family. So thankful I have a family. I'll be honest. My wife and Pastor Anna should thank God every day that we are friends. And when God gave me a family, he gave me Pastor Josh. I couldn't do life or ministry without him. Man, that's what we get to be. We get to be the church. We're his people. But here's what I want you to do now. I want you to know God. He knows you. He knew you before your mother's womb. He knows every hair on your head. He knows you. He knows the things you try to hide from him. He knows your heart and how nasty it gets. He knows your mouth and the things that come out of it. He knows your anger, yet he still loves you. If you don't like it, you can leave. I'm just playing. Something was hitting home there. She's on the front row. She can handle it. But here's what you have to do. I'm just going to pick right back up. Stay with me. You have to get to know him. How do you do that? There's two main ways. This word, you got to spend time in it. You got to. There's no substitute. Sitting here isn't enough. Hearing a sermon once a week isn't enough. Your verse of the day on YouVersion isn't enough. You actually got to read it. You got to know it. You got to study it. The second thing is prayer. Now, I'm gonna be a little vulnerable with you. I've prayed my whole life, as long as I can remember. And when I pray, it's always been like this. I pray kind of all the time. I can tell you story after story where I've been praying. God shows up. He tells me something. Then I move and I go, planting churches, launching churches. But one thing I've never done in my whole life is I've never set aside dedicated time to pray. I've always just prayed. I pray when I can. I pray in my car. I pray on my way here. Man, I started doing something. I started setting aside time the first of this year. And I said, I'm going to pray before I do anything else every day. I'm going to get up early. I'm telling you, it's been the best almost 5 whole months of my life with God. Something has happened that I didn't even know was possible. I'm getting to know my Father in a way I never even knew existed because I'm setting aside time each day. What if I told you? So as I look around the room, I don't know anybody. I know Bruce. I love Bruce. Bruce used to be the CEO of a company I worked for. I was the stock boy. He was the CEO. Didn't even know it. Now we hang out all the time and we're best friends. Kind of. We worked at a place called Office Depot. You could go into Best Buy. You could go into all these different places. What if there was a story that you could walk into and you could purchase this? You could buy less anxiety and you could purchase peace. Bruce, what would you pay for it?
Priceless.
Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Let's look at verse 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Listen to this. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So, Bruce, one of the smartest people I've ever met in my entire life, and I'm not kidding. He literally said, it's priceless. It's actually not. No offense, Bruce. You can have low worry, low stress, low anxiety, and you can have peace that passes all understanding. But here's the price. It's prayer. And we've decided that price is too high. I know we've decided it because we live in a culture that is more anxious, that has more worry, and that does less praying than I think in human history. We think we're so cool with our smartphones and they've made us morons. We binge watch a show. We search sports. We keep our kids entertained. When he's called us to get to know him through prayer, we can look through Matthew and it says, when you pray, when you fast, when you give, given us all these tools, yet we've deemed the price as too high to get to know my Father. It's just prayer. That means we're going to have to set time aside. We're going to have to pray. We were opening up the church tonight. We're going to pray. I had 4,100 people show up for Easter at all my campuses. I don't say that as a point of pride, but I'm telling you, if I were to ask all those people, hey, show up on Sunday night and we're going to pray, I'd be impressed if I could get 100 to show up out of 4,000. Why? Because we've deemed the cost is too high. Cost is too high. I got, man, it's my only night. It's my only time. I can't get up early because, man, I got a busy day. We got to run kids everywhere after school. They got all kinds of stuff going on. We got to plan for our vacation. I've got to work my second job. Oh, we've deemed the price is too high. It's just prayer. It's just prayer. Yet if I could put on a website, hey, here it is right now. For $1,000 a month, you can have all the stress-free and peaceful life you could imagine. I'd sell out every week. People would pay it all day long. But he's made it free in his word. All you got to do is pray. And that's how you get to know the Father. I'm going to close with this simple illustration. Because I really believe, and I can only go so far, I really believe that here's what it's like. When we read in Psalm, David says this, taste and see that the Lord is good. There it is, Psalm 34, verse 8. Boom! Taste and see that the Lord is good. You know what that means? You got to experience it. You've got to participate in it. Your pastor is going to come up and visit me. He always tells me. He's like, hey, I want to go to the Pine Club. It's a steakhouse. We don't just talk about it. I can tell you what he's going to order. He likes these rolls that are terrible, super salty. He's going to get a bone-in filet, and he's going to eat every bit of it, and then he's going to expect me to pay for it, or Bruce, whichever one of us have cash. But I love watching him eat it because he's so happy. You got to taste and see that it's good for yourself. Can't just talk about it. So here's what I believe. Is that there's this table. And so thinking up here, Stephen, I love Stephen. Stephen's been to the Pine Club. But imagine this. I love going out with Pastor Josh and Anna. Set the stage. They've reserved a table. And they're seated at a table right over there. And me and my wife are supposed to meet them at this table. They've set the table, they've reserved it, and they're buying. Food tastes better when it's free. They're buying. And my wife and I walk in, and we glance at them, but then we just keep moving. and we find our own table and we sit and we don't acknowledge them and we don't talk to them, how would they feel? At minimum, it's rude. At minimum, it's rude. And I feel this, that God has set that table every day for you and me. And we look at our lives and we think, God, thanks for setting that table, but I'm so busy. I got so much going on. I really don't want to get to know you right now any better. Thank you for loving me and thank you for saving me. All that's wonderful, but I mean, I just don't have time to get on my knees in your presence right now. I just don't have time. I'm super busy, God. If you only knew my schedule, if you only knew what I had going on, you'd understand. And then here's what he does every day. He sets that table again, and he's so excited. He's waiting for you to sit with him. And every day we glance and we say, thank you for setting the table, but I'm so busy. I got so much going on. And then we go and do something else that's very unfulfilling, that causes anxiety, that causes stress. And we don't ever know our Father. We don't ever know that he wants to care for us. He wants you to sit at that table and he just wants you to relax. He wants to love on you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants you to get to know him and how gracious he is and how loving he is. He wants to prove that he's that Prince of Peace. But if you never sit at the table and you never find it, you gotta pray. It's so fitting. I didn't know there was a prayer meeting tonight. Had no idea. I was told last night. Why won't you be here? Because when I look around, only 10% showing up. Maybe more. Why aren't you going to get up 30 minutes early tomorrow? I try to run the excuses in my head of what I'm going to say to God when I stand before him one day. None of them seem to sound great. He's like, man, I set the table every day for you and I long for you to sit with me. Let's sit with him. Can we do that? Just sit with him. So I always leave with a challenge. Every time I preach, I try to challenge people to do something. One challenge is this: show up tonight. I didn't know what was happening. I will be here. I'll probably be up in that balcony by myself, listening to the worship team. And I have a little system when I pray, P-R-A-Y. I'll praise and thanks God for about 5 or 10 minutes. Then I'll be silent for 2 or 3 minutes. And then I repent, and that takes a long time. And then I'm silent for 2 or 3 minutes. And then I start asking God that he'll bless Trailhead Church. I start asking God for his people. And then I'm silent again. And then I always finish it up with, I just yield to his presence. Lord, hey, I prayed all these things, but I yield to what you want me to do. I yield to your presence. I yield to your goodness. And then I'm quiet. If you're ever going to spend time with God, learn to shut your mouth, because he's got a lot to say. Ooh, man, but if you sit at the table and all you do is listen, it's a wealth of knowledge. So my challenge is that you pray for 7 days. 7 days. Be here tonight and pray for 7 days. And you're going to learn who your Father is on a whole new level.